Welcome to the Beargrass Christian Church podcast. My name is Dee Decker, and I'm the Director of Communications here at Beargrass. We are quickly approaching Ash Wednesday, which begins the season of Lent, and is a day in which we remember our mortality. It's a day of reflection and repentance, a day in which we begin to take a deeper look within and wrestle with questions about our life and living, about our relationship with God and others. Nora Love Parrish says, "Ash Wednesday exists to wake me up to the fact that the measure of my days is the relationship I have with God." As we think about the measure of our days, our relationship with God, on this day, we are invited to commit to disciplines during Lent that will help us focus more clearly on the important things in life. Lent is a time for us to seek clarity in who we are as followers of Christ. We hope that you will join us on Ash Wednesday and engage in various disciplines throughout the Lenten season that will bring clarity of vision to your life and living. We are inviting everyone to reflect on daily email devotions and join us Wednesday, February 26th at 6:45 p.m. for a meaningful time of worship and reflection as we begin this Lenten season. To sign up for the e-devotions, go to www.org and sign up under the e-news label found on the homepage. This week, we continue our Eyes to See series with a sermon from Dr. Bond titled Eyes to See the Light, which focuses on Matthew 5, 13 through 20. Here now is Dr. Lee Bond.
Again, good morning. It's great to see you all this Sunday morning and hope you have had a good week. How many of you watched the Super Bowl last week and the commercials? The game was actually pretty good. It turned out to be pretty exciting. And the ads, the commercials were interesting as usual. What were your favorite commercials this year? It looks like Groundhog Day was one of the favorites among many people. Also, Smart Pock was one that hit the top two, I think. Loretta caught us off guard, didn't it? You see that Google commercial, Loretta, brought tears to some of our eyes. Very, very touching, very serious presentation there. Another one was also serious. It was one of my favorites. It wasn't ranked nearly as high, but it was one presented by New York Life. And it was actually a short Bible study in a commercial. Did you catch it? A short Bible study about love. And within that commercial, We saw the four Greek words for love, the different levels of love as outlined in the Bible. And the last word, many of you know, some of you are in a Sunday school class by the same name, but the last word was agape. Agape love, the highest form of love we can show. And then there were examples in that commercial about agape love. And then the final message, the final slide was very simple, but very true. Be good at life. And hashtag at the bottom, love takes action. Love takes action. And I hope you get a chance to see it if you haven't already. But I thought it was kind of serendipitous that that commercial appeared this week because it relates so well to the text that Rob just read for us this morning. If you were here last week, you know, Jesus is preaching, and so we're in the midst of a sermon here. Last week, he presented the Beatitudes, the opening commentary to the Sermon on the Mount, some of the most important material that we have. This week, we get into the content of that sermon, and he says, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." He doesn't say someday. He doesn't say someday you will be salt and light. He doesn't say if you work hard, if you get your act together, if you behave yourself, you will become salt and light someday. No, he says you right now are salt and light. But again, as we talked about last week, think about the crowd and think about the context here. We wonder, is Jesus crazy? This is a motley crew. This is a motley crew of very poor, desperate, suffering people. They are mostly folks who are really down and out. They are down, and then they're out, you know, near some remote, obscure village in this place where Jesus is preaching. And we think to ourselves, has Jesus been out in the sun too long? You know, talk about taking a leap of faith. And now here's something that's really bizarre. Jesus is saying the same thing to you and to me today. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And what could that possibly mean for us? First, I think it's important to receive these words as encouraging and as a compliment. In Jesus' day, salt was a valuable commodity. The word we use for salary today comes from the same root word as salt. I know salt gets some negative references today because of health concerns, but in that day, salt was important. It was a form of currency. It was also used as a preservative, as an antiseptic. It was used for healing, and so it was very important. One of its unique qualities was that in its purest form, it did not lose its taste or flavor over time. And Jesus is saying, you may feel small and insignificant, but, you know, sprinkle a few of you around here and there, and gosh, God only knows what can happen through your efforts and through your lives, and you bring spiritual spice to this world. Not only that, you are the light of the world. And a light hidden under a bushel basket that's not seen by anyone serves no real purpose unless you need a burned out basket, right? Your light is to shine so others can see it. And not only that, light helps us in the pursuit of peace and justice and truth. Like salt, light helps us make things happen. It changes things. It helps us see things more clearly and find our way. And so you are part of God's great effort to bring light to the world, but you've got to let people see it. At one church, the power went out during a special evening service. All of a sudden, bam, the lightning, you know, knocked the power out in the whole church, the whole neighborhood, and everybody kind of freaked out in the sanctuary. But the pastor sensed that, said, just relax, it'll be okay, I'll get some candles. And so he brought some candles back, and there was that click, click of the lighter, and one candle was lit, and then the light began to spread, and people could kind of see where they were. But they made their way toward the front doors of the church, and they peered out and saw this tremendous storm and raining like crazy, and they huddled there in the church doorway, this band of faithful people, each holding their wavering light, trying to decide whether to stay in or venture out into the storm. And the pastor had this moment, you know, you get these opportunities where you get these teaching moments and you think, I've got to say it now or it'll never get said. So the pastor seized on the moment and said, you know, this is what it means. This is what it means to be the light of the world. This is the temptation we face every Sunday, every day. You know, it is easy to play it safe within the walls of the church, right? It's easy to play it safe in here. It is much harder to venture out in faith into the storms of the world, trying to keep that light burning. That story reminds me of our beautiful Christmas Eve services that we have in this place every year. It's one of our favorite times, certainly, but I love the symbolism of closing the service in candlelight. But those of you who have attended, you know, what happens when the service ends and we hit the aisles and head to the doors? You know, it's practical, it's necessary, but poof, out goes the light, right? That can't be the model for what we do with the light of Christ, though, right? Now, keep the light in here. Don't let it get to the parking lot. Be careful. Somebody might find out you're a Jesus follower. Put it out, right? It's kind of silly, isn't it? But, you know, we don't keep it a secret, do we? I may be wrong, but I would guess that there are people we meet every week who have no idea how important our faith is to us. I would guess that there are people every week who do not know how much this church family means to us. And so do our words and our actions provide clues? Do our faith and values impact the way we live and interact with those around us? You know, if we're light bearers in this world, people will notice and they'll ask, you know what, there's something different about you. Talk to me about that. You know, there'll be an aura, a God aura around you, and people will wonder, what's going on? Jesus says that we're salt and light, and so I think we're called to have not a higher standard of living, but a higher standard for living in this challenging world. We're called, he says, to be even more righteous than the Pharisees. And some of those folks were some of the finest people of the day, but they were driven by a different motivator, by trying to keep every letter of the law. We're driven by this great love God has for us and our love in return for God and God's people. And so we're called to outlove, and we're called to outshine everybody around us. As one person proclaimed, you know, it's a great gift to know that our lives, our little lives are caught up in some vast cosmic mission of God. We are the way Jesus is turning the world inside out and upside down and enlivening the whole universe. And so the little things we do, like the way we spend our money, the words that we use, the way we spend our time, all of that matters. And so when the candles go out, we are to light the fire within to bring about transformation in this world. Some of you are familiar with Philip Yancey and have read some of his books, but he one time was preparing a lesson on the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew 5 to 7. As he was doing so on the news, a general was giving a report on the war. And Yancey realized it as he was hearing that report that he was hearing the words of Jesus in reverse. You know, the general was saying, blessed are the strong, blessed are the triumphant, blessed are the liberated, blessed are the conquerors. And the message was exactly opposite the Sermon on the Mount. Now, he was not critical of the general. He saw him as one who embodied strength and leadership and confidence. But it became very clear that the Sermon on the Mount expresses quite plainly that God views the world with different lenses. He recalled people he had met along the way during his lifetime that shared the light of God, that were salt of the earth, that shared great wisdom with him. And he thought back about his faith journey, and he remembered these people. He thought about a patient in India with leprosy. He thought about a civil rights worker who had been tossed in jail. He thought about a mother who had lost two children to cystic fibrosis. He remembered a priest who worked at a home for the severely disabled. He remembered a minister who ran a hotel for the homeless. And he realized that people like that see life through different eyes. They see life with the eyes of God. And we don't have to leave Louisville to find folks like that. It's, you know, it is a blessing for me to be around people like you, because so many of you have accepted this high calling. So many of you get it, and I thank God for that. So many of you keep Christ's light burning all week long in your acts of service and outreach, in your calls and visits and invitations, in your participation in community helping organizations, in your growing compassion, your growing generosity, your growing hospitality, in your words of encouragement and edification, in your ability to help others who are caught in some kind of mess to help them see the bigger picture. Because every dollar that you give and every hour that you spend, it's like salt. It's like light, and you are needed. you are needed now, and I would say you are needed especially now. One of the prophetic voices of our time, I think, is Richard Rohr, kind of an expert on spiritual life and growth. But he says, Christianity is a lifestyle. It's a way of being in the world that is simple, nonviolent, shared, and loving. However, he says, we have made it into an established religion and all that goes with it and avoided the lifestyle change itself. He says, one could be warlike, greedy, racist, selfish, and vain in most of our Christian history and still believe that Jesus is one's personal Lord and Savior. He says the world has no time for such silliness anymore. The suffering on earth, the need is too great. One of my favorite cartoons is Pearls Before Swine. There was one in the paper recently you may have seen, but kind of hits on today's topic a little bit. In the first frame, Goat says as he's reading the paper, "Ugh, this story is horrible." And so Pig wanders off and he wanders around and puts another notch on the board. Badness in the world is winning, it looks like. Next frame, he wanders off again, gets into the city, down some dark alleys, and helps out someone who's down and out. Gets back to the bench there and he says, I'm going to even this thing up yet. Friends, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. And he's going to need some help.
Again, we invite you to join us on Wednesday, February 26th at 6:45 for our Ash Wednesday service. We'd love to see you around the table in the new year at any of our weekend worship services. Our Saturday service is casual and meets in the chapel at 5:30. The Beargrass Praise Team leads us in worship during our Sunday 9 a.m. contemporary service. And at the 11 a.m. traditional service, the Beargrass Choir sings. All of our services include communion that is open to everyone. For more information on all of the activities happening at Beargrass, visit our website, www.beargrass.org. Until next time, peace.